We continue our learning Le'ilinish, Mas David, Menachem Urish, Menachem Yaakov, Pinchas Elio. We're in Beitza Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis. We're going to discuss the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam in the sense that a person is allowed to shecht on Yom Tov. That's one of the melachos that are permitted for Ochel Nefesh purposes, for food preparation, certainly in days when there's no refrigeration. The problem is that when you shecht a chaya, a wild kosher animal like a deer, or an oaf or a bird, you have to cover the blood. And if you don't have dirt that was set aside to cover the blood in advance, so then we have a problem, because there are malachos that are not permitted to be done on Yom Tov as well, in order for us to procure the offer. Pasuk says in Vayikra, Perek Yud Zayin, when you shech the chayron oaf, v'shafaches damo, v'kisahu be'afar. So the Mishnah says like this, Hashochet chayav oaf be'yom tov. What do you do when if you did not designate dirt in advance to cover the blood? Beishamai Omrim, and we'll see Beishamai as the other Mishnayos is more lenient than Beis Hillel. That's why it's on this list. It's very rare that happens. Beishamai Omrim Yachpor Badeker Bichaseh. Beishamai says like this. Literally, he says you're allowed to dig with a spade, with a shovel, and cover the blood. Now, the Gemara explains that that clearly is not allowed. That's certainly why that's a malacha, potentially, of choresh, of plowing, when you dig in the ground, malacha of bone, when you make a hole in the ground, you have moving muk, so you have a problem grinding tochein, if you have if the dirt is very hard, and it's very clumpy, and then you want to make it soft, so that's a malacha of tochein. So, under what circumstances is this allowed? So the Gemara says, number one, it's where the deker, where the spade was na'utz, was in the ground before Yontif. It's already in the ground. Number two, the afar is what we call afar tichoach. It's soft dirt. So Beis Shammai says, well, you don't have a problem of grinding. You don't have a problem of moving mukta, because if the spade is in the ground, then we can assume that the dirt that you're going to pick up has been designated before Yom Tov. That's allowed. Ubeis Hillel omrim, no. Lo yishchot. Unless you have dirt set aside out of the ground that was dug up completely before Yom Tov, you're not allowed to shech the animal. So have something else to eat. Umodim, Beis Hillel, however, admits, Shem Shachat, if you did shech the animal, when you didn't realize, let's say, so now you have a shechted animal and there is blood that needs to be covered. Then he agrees to Beis Shammai Shayachbor Badeker Vichaseh. Once again, which means you're not really digging with the spade. It's a spade that's been in the ground before Yom Tov. And it's Afar Tichach, it's store of dirt. You can use that B'dievet after the fact if you already shechted the animal. So that's Beis Hillel's opinion. Now we have to address the basis of this machlokas and a couple of other issues as well. First of all, how do we address the issue let's think about some of the things that a person may be doing here. If the Beis Hillel, after the fact, or Beis Shammai lechatchila, if I have the shovel, the spade in the ground before Yom Tov, so you took care of the muktzah problem, maybe, you took care of it softer, you took care of the tochen problem, what about plowing? Plowing is a problem, making a hole is also boneh. Potentially, people would make a hole in order to put in a beam in the ground. So these problems, we can take care of these problems and realize why they may only be dinim derabbanan. And that is number one, when it comes to, let's say, talk about building. So building, typically when they made a hole in a mishkan, that was to put a beam inside. Here, I'm not making the hole to make a hole. I'm making a hole to use the dirt. So that is a classic example of a malacha, Sheinat Tzricha Lugufa, which we discussed in Masechet Shabbos. You're doing a malacha for a different purpose than it was done in the Mishkan. That's the way Tosfos at least understands that principle. So that's number one. Number two, even if you, what about, you'll tell you, okay, but when you make a hole in the ground, isn't that choresh digging? And choresh is for the hole, not for the dirt. So here, there's another thing, and that is, I don't want the hole in the ground. Making a hole in the ground is not helpful for me if I'm not planning to build or to plow. I just want to use the dirt, so that's what we call mekalkel. Mekalkel means you're doing something destructive. The Mishnah says in the 13th parak of Shabbos, call a mekalkel in Peturin. Doing something that's destructive lowers its level, because there's a principle in Hilchos Shabbos called Meleches Machshevetz. It has to be thought-provoking work, has to be constructive work. So here I'm doing something that's destructive. It's not included. And therefore, we've lowered these down to a din d'rabbanan. Malacha sheni tzuch l'gufa is a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And according to Rabbi Shimon, at least, your patra avalaster, it's an ister d'rabbanan. So now we've lowered, and Mekalkel makes it d'rabbanan. So now we understand a little bit what may be happening in this Mishnah. Now, there still are issues. Think about the fact that according to Beis Hillel, there's a muktzah problem. He doesn't think that the dirt that may be attached to this spade that's sitting in the ground before Yom Tov, he doesn't think that that's been designated in advance. You know, how do you know what dirt you're talking about? The spade's in the ground. You know what dirt you're going to end up picking up. So Beis Hillel, so that's that problem of muktzah anyway. Nonetheless, b'dieved, he says this is okay. So how do we resolve these issues? So it seems that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are debating the following. To what extent can we do something for the purposes of Simchas Yom Tov? So Beis Shammai says, for the purposes of Simchas Yom Tov, we can, and that is to have, if I want to eat this animal, I have to cover the blood. If I want to eat the bird, I have to cover the blood. So Beis Shammai says, Muktzah is a din d'rabbanan, and maybe these other things as well, and therefore Simchas Yom Tov overrides that. Beis Hillel says, no, l'chatchila Simchas Yom Tov does not override that, b'dieved after the fact it would, but not, certainly not, l'chatchila. One way, at least, to explain the machlokas. Now, then the Mishnah says, and concludes, with the following phrase, she'efer kira muchan hu. It sounds like it's a continuation of the previous statement, but it's really not. We assume it really should be a vav. Ve'efer kira muchan hu. The ashes in the kira, in the oven, kira was the oven they used in those days, kira was really more like a stove. That's where you bake the food, and a tanur was the oven, that's where you bake the bread. So the efer, the ashes that are sitting in the kira, says the Mishnah, are considered prepared. What's the chiddush of this? So one would have thought that if you have ashes designated before Yom Tov, that's fine. But ashes are acceptable for Kisi Hadam as well. If I have dirt that's designated in a pile, I dug it up before Yom Tov, that's fine. Let's say according to Beis Hillel. But if I have ashes sitting in the oven, what is that? I didn't designate those. So the Mishnah here says, don't worry, you don't need to designate them. We assume that ashes that are sitting in the oven are considered designated in advance. That's just the way that they have that status. And the Gemara says, that's only true, though, if I have ashes that are left over from before Yom Tov. If, let's say you have ashes that were produced by something that was lit on Yom Tov, so those are muktzah. Ashes is one of classic examples of one of the worst forms of muktzah, of nolad, which we'll get back to a little bit. We didn't speak about nolad when it came to the Beit Sashanol de Yom Tov, but assuming that the issue is a muktzah issue, this is a very high level of muktzah. Nolad, a new entity. This was a piece of wood before Yom Tov, and now it burnt into ashes. That's a new entity. That's the worst form of muktzah. So it has to be where the ashes were in place before they were right there. Something that you had left over before Yom Tov, but not ashes that you're creating on Yom Tov. Now, if though you have ashes that are still hot, hot enough to roast an egg, the Gemara assumes, so those are not considered muktzah, and those, meaning, what do you do? You have on Yom Tov, what do? You have I'm allowed to put firewood into the oven, so that's perfectly okay. So now I do that, and I'm baking something, and there have to be ashes that are there. So the Gemara says that if the ashes are still hot, that's not considered where I've created a new entity. That's part of the wood that was designated before Yom Tov, let's say, to throw into the fire. If it's still out, I can cook with it. So then, since I can cook with it to roast an egg, I'm also in an egg roast pretty easily. So I'm able, so it may not have to be that hot. So those hot ashes, remetz cham, it's still hot ashes, that I'm allowed to use to cover the blood because it doesn't have the status of muktzah. It's not a new object. No, it's not nolad. It's not a new object just yet. Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. Beis Shammai Omrim, ein molichin es asulam mishovach l'shovach. You're not permitted to move the ladder from one dovecot to another. But aval mateo mechalon lechalon, but you can move it from one window to another. So you have to, some of the picture books have this, but they used to have the doves, or the pigeons, that they would have them in a dovecot. These were their houses. They'd fly in, they'd fly out. There was a place for them to stand right in front. They'd go into that little opening, like almost like a birdhouse. And Beis Shammai says that on Yom Tov, which we're allowed to, in fact, we're allowed to shecht, so I want to take birds from here to shecht. So what's the problem here? So Beis Shammai says the problem here is moving the ladder from one dovecot to another. We'll see why that's a problem. But you're allowed to tip in Mateu, incline the ladder from one window of the same dovecot to another window of the same dovecot. So first of all, to deal with the muktzah issue, these obviously have to be birds that were designated on Erev Yom Tov in a proper hachana. And we'll see how to remove the muktzah from a bird. We'll see at the end of the Mishnah. And if the ladder were in its place, so then you could go up the ladder, you could walk up the ladder and take the bird that you designated before Yom Tov. Ah, the problem here is that you're moving the sulam from its place. I have to go through that tircha and move it. And Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to do this on Yom Tov, to bring the sulam from one shovach to another. But Mateu mechalon lechalon, one window to another in the same shovach and the same dovecot, that's not that big tircha, that's allowed. Ubeisilil matirin. Beisilil says you can even move the ladder from one dovecot to another. Here we're finally back to the regular rules where Beisilil is more lenient. Now the Gemara says, this is something that's nice to chart out, but the Gemara says that we have to limit a narrow this machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beisilil. And the Gemara says like this, there is something called a sulam shel aliyah. A sulam shel aliyah is the typical ladder that we have. What's aliyah? I want to go up to the second story. With this ladder, I want to reach something. So sulam shel aliyah that you use to go up to the second story of something, that's something that you would use. Let's say I want to build something. I want to fix the gutter. So that's a sulam shel aliyah. The sulam we're discussing in the Mishnah is a sulam shel shovach, is a sulam that you're using to get the birds. Now, getting the birds is not a problem. The problem is what we call marasayin. Marasayin means that people look and they see and they wonder, what is this person doing? And we're afraid that either someone may think that this person is doing an avera and think bad about this person, or maybe they'll say, oh, this person's a tzaddik. I guess this activity is mutter. And the rule of marasayin is that filu b'chadre chador mezasser. That this applies, even though it may not be completely logical, it applies wherever the Chachamim say that something is prohibited because we're afraid that people may look and suspect someone of doing something wrong. That applies even in the innermost chambers. Even if you think no one's going to be able to see, there is a chance someone may be able to see. This is that question about, let's say, someone, an Israeli, keeping a second day of Yom Tov. We talk about the difference between doing something b'farhesia, doing something in public, and something b'tzina. And most poskim hold that to do malacha in chutz la'aretz, even if you know it's not your day of Yom Tov, even b'tzina is not allowed, because when it comes to halachos like this, of marasayin, they apply even b'chadrei chador. So the Mishnah here, we need to limit, as we said, the machlokas. And the Gemara says like this, if this is a sulam shel aliyah, that which we use to go up to a second story, even Beis Hillel says you're not allowed to move that to a shovach on Yom Tov. Why? Because people are going to think that you are your building, because that's a sulam shel aliyah. Where's the machlokas? Machlokas is regarding a sulam shel shovach. According to Beis Shammai, it's not allowed. Why? Because people are going to think, are going to suspect him that he's moving it to fix his roof, and he's doing a malach on Yom Tov. And this is true even in his chatzir, even though he's in a courtyard where no one can see him, because of the rule called davar she'asru. Chachamim b'nei marasayin afilu b'chadri chadam arasur. But Beis Hillel says, okay, why? Since it's a sulam shel shovach, it's not a sulam shel aliyah. It's not something that you usually use to fix the roof. No one's going to think that he's moving the ladder for the purpose of doing malacha. Now, some say that even Beis Hillel holds that in Rosh HaRabim, you're not allowed to move on Yom Tov even a sulam shel shovach. People are going to think that a sulam shel shovach, not going to pay attention that it's a sulam shel shovach. Now, figure in Rosh HaRabim, you're probably using to fix your roof. When do they allow a sulam shel shovach? Only in a Rosh HaYachid. Why should there be that difference according to this explanation? A difference in Rosh HaRabim and Rosh HaYachid. After all, don't we say that marasayin is problematic even in a Rosh HaYachid, even in a private area? So the answer is, Here, we allow it, we relax that general rule of Maharasayin because of Simchas Yom Tov. He wants to get his birds, we allow it in Rosh Hashayachin. Then the Mishnah says how we deal with the Muktzah issue. Be'sham Ayomim lo yitol elam kein ni'anami ba'od yom. You're now going to take the pigeons, the doves, on Yom Tov to shech them, unless you designate it before Yom Tov. How do you designate them? Here, once again, Be'shabbai is strict. You have to touch them. You have to literally shake them, pick them up, and move them a little bit before Yom Tov. And this is the one that I'm going to be taking tomorrow. Before Yom Tov, you say, oh, this is the bird that I like. Pick it up, then you put it down, and come by the next day, and that's the bird that you use. What happens if you don't recognize it? That's the topic of the next Mishnah. Ubeisilil omrim, omeid v'omer, zevizani no tail. Ubeisilil is more lenient. Says you don't have to pick it up. You don't have to shake it. As long as you come over to the dovecote and point to the birds that you want, that is acceptable. Now, the Gemara here also discusses this machlokas and limits it a little bit, where the Gemara says this machlokas only applies to what we call the brecha rishona, brood, the first two doves. What's the issue with the first two doves? So the first two doves, there's a special connection between the mother and those doves. And therefore, Beis Shammai says, it's not enough to designate them with dibur, the zevizani notel, because what's going to happen? If you pick them up on Yom Tov, you're going to change your mind. You'll have rachmanos on them. That's what happens. The people who raise pigeons, raise doves, they have a little bit of rachmanos on the first brood, on the first two doves. And then what will end up happening? You'll pick them up, shelo letzorach, for no reason. On Yom Tov, you pick them up and you change your mind. Well, now you're moving Muktzah. Ah, but if you move them before Yom Tov and didn't have Rachmanos on them, and say, I'm picking you up, I'm eating you tomorrow. Then we're not afraid that tomorrow you're going to have a Rachmanos on them. So it says, no, it's enough to designate even the Brecha Rishona, the first two doves. We're not afraid you're going to have Rachmanos on them. But the Brecha Shnia, the one that comes to the birds after the first two birds, and the ones that follow, everyone agrees in Beis Shammai that it's enough to say, Elu Va'elu Ananiotel, I'm going to take from these tomorrow, designate them with Dibur, and you don't need to move them at all.